It's good to have everyone here tonight. I know that with the kind of weather like this, it would be nice to stay snuggled in. But God really is pleased that you care enough about Him to not think about your own selves and come out to be with us and His church of the Son. If you will turn to James chapter 1, we will begin there in just a moment. As you probably have seen, the Whitney Houston funeral and death has been on every single day, I guess, for a week. And I, too, will be glad when that is over. I'm sure we'll have post-funeral news about that. But I know that you probably heard about the funeral and Bobby Brown, who came and he felt that he was a little bit too important to sit at his designated place. And it just makes you wonder about the level of disrespect people will go to. And I am reminded of James in chapter 1, as when he says here in verse 9, "Let the brother of the low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways." And when I go to chapter 2, in verse 1 through 3, he tells us, "My brethren, hath not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and a goodly apparel, and there come and also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under thy footstool. He says, Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?" In other words, you think yourself better than other people, and you think yourself worthy to make a discernment between good and evil. However, did we ever get to think so high of ourselves as to be like that? It's always been, isn't it, as we saw. The truth of the matter is, we're not as high as we think we are. I don't care how much success we have made or how bright we may think we are, that is just never going to be something that God is pleased with. As a matter of fact, we know that there is only one true power, and that is of God, isn't it? And the power of God can be seen in many, many places, but tonight we're going to talk about how it can be seen in the power of His creation. And we're going to be seeing how it is seen in the power of the preservation of the universe, and also in closing the miracles that were done through Jesus. Now, I'd like to take you back, if we could, to Luke chapter 18. Just to kind of start our understanding of where the power is. Luke chapter 18, as we saw, there was a little discussion going on here about the rich and the poor and how it's very difficult for rich people to get into heaven. They were perplexed who heard Him speaking these things, and they came up with Him to say in verse 26, "And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved?" In verse 27, "And He said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." That's true. All things are possible through God, isn't it? We have seen in other places. You know, we would never have guessed some of the things that were possible. When I go all the way back to Genesis chapter 17, when He was having a conversation with Abraham in beginning in verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly." And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations I have made thee." And that continued on. And Abram, obviously, is different from Abraham. Abraham being father of many. And so that is impossible to man. Man could not have made that covenant. Man could not have made someone to have father a child at basically 100 years old. But sometimes we think that we know more than God, and we think that we are more powerful than God. You know, I recall going to Job, if you would, with me, and he had just a terrible relapse of judgment at the end of that book when he thought that maybe he had something to boast about. And I remember when he started getting a response in chapter 38. It does your heart good to realize sometimes, no matter how smart we are, we know that he was great. He was a righteous man. He had obtained great wealth, and he had a great family. But that doesn't matter, because all of those things, we are told through Scripture, is blessed of God. Everything that we own, all the blessings we have, including the fruit of the womb, comes from God. Well, look what happened in the beginning of chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors, when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness and swaddling band for it, and brake up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud wave stayed." And he continues on, doesn't he? I like it when we get down here at verse 18. "Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare, if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as far darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou shalt take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof. Knowest thou it, because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great?" He lets us know, when we get to thinking how good we are and how much we've accomplished, you really are nothing but what I give you, the days of his life. Job learned, didn't he? And if you go on over to chapter 42, in the first two verses of that, we see his repentant nature. "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee." He knew, didn't he? He knew. But sometimes we have to be set straight. There is only one power, isn't there? If you turn over to Jeremiah chapter 32, wouldn't it be nice if we could have this attitude all the days of our life? We seem to go between being somewhat humble and not very humble at all. That's what a good life will do for you, isn't it? Chapter 32, look what he said here in verse 17. "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Now, that's a great attitude to have, to always remember, no matter how blessed, how prosperous we are, that there truly is only one power, and that is of God. Truth is, all the power that there is in the universe, whether physical or spiritual, has its source with God. God is unlimited power, isn't he? In any and all things which he wants to do, he can certainly do that. So we see the power of God in his creation, don't we? You think about the sun, the moon, all the stars and the planets. It is said that Jupiter is 1,281 times greater in bulk than the earth. That's pretty big, isn't it? We have a pretty big earth. If you want to try to go around it, you would find that out. And if you were to think that all of the power of man from the beginning of time, we couldn't do anything of the sort like that. The world theory is, in Science Today, according to an article I read, the Big Bang Theory, it says, is the idea that the universe came into existence at a certain point in time, roughly 15 to 20 billion years ago. And that theory has moved to the forefront of how this earth was created. The truth of the matter is, God spoke it into existence. We have seen it in Genesis, but if you will go to Psalm 33, I think it's more important for us as human beings to acknowledge it. Psalm 33, we see it mentioned here in verse 6. It says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all of the host of them by the breath of His mouth." Notice what He says in verse 9. "For He spake, and it was done. And He commanded, and it was stood fast." I go all the way over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. He talks about that great chapter of faith. And when he begins this particular chapter, he says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But if you look at verse 3, notice how he correlates that to understanding how God's great power in the universe was created. "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." By faith we believe that. We know that the Word of God spoke it. And after going back and looking at Job, kind of makes you feel a little bit more humble, doesn't it? That could be done. Now, the power of creation is certainly God's power. Think about it, is God's power is exercised in His harmony of nature. He exercises it each day. You know, He cannot lie and He cannot be unjust. And we know that, the Scripture tells us. But He cannot force a man to do either good or evil according to His will. We say, well, if God has all this great power, He could make us do what He wants us to do. Yes, He could, but He does not. That would only be self-imposed, whatever we want to do. Jesus had all the power, didn't He? He had the power to heal and to raise people from the dead. But you know what else He had? He had free will to either do the will of His Father or not to do it. And He was begging His Father not to let Him go through Calvary. But that was the will of God, and He chose to obey Him because He had a humbled understanding of who God is. God's power is also exercised in the harmony of nature in this same way. He said that God is a God of order. That's what He says in Corinthians chapter 14. "But not a God of disorder or confusion." He said that every seed brings forth after his own kind. And so does every animal, doesn't it? The sun doesn't rise in the north, does it? It always rises in the east. And that's order. And then if it was chaos, if it was Big Bang, we wouldn't know what to expect. I'd like to go back, if you would go back to Matthew chapter 3. Notice what John the Baptist said. "It is nothing to me better than human beings of great ability who recognize the power of God." He was having a little deal here with the Pharisees and Sadducees in the beginning of that chapter, verse 7. But notice what he said in verse 8 and 9. This is John the Baptist speaking. "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to rise up children to Abraham." He most certainly could do that, couldn't he? I mean, he created the first man from the dirt. And he created the first woman from the rib. He could do that instantly. One day we will all be regenerated, won't we? And what do you think about those who have been cremated? Those who have been dust that's been scattered to the ocean. Is that going to be possible by God? Well, of course it can. That's nothing. God can do anything. And I love seeing a human being acknowledge that when people think they're high and they think that they are mighty. You know, if you go back to Genesis, we know that there was a great flood, don't we? We know that He destroyed the entire earth. But if you go back to Genesis chapter 8, notice the promise that He gave to us, that He will keep because He tells us the truth. Look at verse 21 and 22. And now they have just gotten off the ark. And in verse 21, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savior, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from the youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living, as I have done while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." That's a promise of order. That's a promise of harmony. And as we see, you know that because we're sinners, He could destroy it as easily as He created it. But God acts and matters according to His will. So we see the power of God in His creation. We also see it in the preservation of the universe going forward. Now let's go back to Hebrews. Let's go to the beginning, that beginning chapter 1 of Hebrews. And I want you to notice something He says. Hebrews chapter 1. Long way, isn't it, from Genesis? Hebrews chapter 1. Look what he says in verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. So, amazingly, the word spoke this creation into existence. Nothing less, the word that he speaks keeps it in existence as he contends we continue on each day. You know, we're told explicitly over in Colossians, if you would go over there to chapter 1, we are told, beginning in verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. In other words, all things hold together, which some translations say. We are told in Matthew chapter 6, when we are deliberating about how to take care of ourselves, that kind of chapter he talks about there, he tells us in verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? He preserves this universe so that we may be able to continue on. Interestingly, Job, if we'll go back there to chapter 38, we were there and we stopped just a little short. But he makes note that it is him that keeps us in vegetation. Excuse me. If you'll go to verse 25 of chapter 38. He says, who hath divided the water course of the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness where there is no man, to satisfy the desolate waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? We think we have the power, don't we? Think about what we think. We think we have solved the problem of hunger pretty much in this country, but it's all God's power. He's the one that brings that up. Anybody that's ever had a garden, you have one row up, one row doesn't. Why does that happen? We don't know. We just know that God chose it not to come up. We have no power aside from God. Go to Psalm 121. I want you to see how God is a God of preservation. Psalm 121. Let's read the whole thing. It's only eight verses. Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, and made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor by moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even evermore. The Lord preserves this earth, this universe, in order that we may continue on another day. We see God's power in the preservation of this universe. Finally, we see God's power in the miracles that Jesus did. You know, his resurrection alone should be abundant proof that he can do all things. You know, when we looked at Luke 18 and verse 27, when he said all things are possible with God, that's true. All things are possible. But it is God who indeed has the power. One thing we need to realize is one day we'll see that power again. We will see this world destroyed by fire. We will know the power that day, won't we? We'll turn to 2 Peter. We will read there the account by which that he says it will occur. 2 Peter chapter 3. He tells us, beginning in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He says, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's power, isn't it? When I think of what people trust in, you know, I think a little bit of Bobby Brown, and when that's been coming out, I haven't stopped following. If you'll turn back to Psalm 20, I want to close there. And this is the reality of some people. Psalm 20. Look what he says in verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's the truth of the power of God. He has it all. And I just am so thankful that there are people that I know that no matter how well they do or how poor they get, it's within God's power to do good and to not do so good to whomever He pleases. And that's just the way that God works. And we have to acknowledge that and accept that going forward. If anyone today is open to the invitation, then I would ask that that be yours if it's anything that we can do for you.